Now you listen here, you little piece of shit. You're gonna get this and all your places burnt down to the ground if you don't comply immediately and open the fucking door!
Listen, sweetheart. Just because you don't want to impress His Highness doesn't mean that you don't have importance in this city. You should know that. Yeah, I know who you are and I know what you belong to. You're like me. You should understand that running errands for the prince is below us. Below us, below us, below us, below us, below us, below us.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
I get out of the place. I'm a bit shook up about what just happened. I look around outside. Do I see that woman? Is she still here? The one that was looking to talk to Crook as well.
No, she's not here. There is no one but you. It is in wee hours of the morning right now. It's around 4 o'clock. There is literally no one and nothing around you.
I just stumbled a few steps forward in this alley where I found a side entrance to the bar, and I just lean against the wall, and I'm leaning against it with my forehead, like, what the hell did I just try to pull? I bet that was really dangerous and stupid. I should go home to Michael and get some sleep.
And right as you make that decision, you get a phone call. You hear your phone ring in your pocket.
Oh, shit, who's this? It's that guy. Yeah, this is Alan.
Yes. Alan, hey, how's it going?
Well, it could have gone better. I told you I wasn't sure how to do this thing, but he has agreed to stay out of our way, but we gotta do some sort of favor for him as well, apparently.
Well, that's normally how it goes, all right. What sort of favor did you agree to?
From my pocket, I take out this note that he gave me, and I fold it up. We're supposed to get money from some guy, and I read the name.
Right, and we have to do it. We have to do it now, then.
I don't know if we have to do it now. He didn't give me a time frame or anything. He said just if we do this, he'd stay out of our way, so.
Well, the issue is tomorrow we're meeting our delegation at 10, so it probably needs to be done now, Alan.
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't say that we had to do it before they arrived or anything. I mean, this is felt more like you're going to do this for me, and if not, I'll probably find you and kill you anyways.
Well, if you're sure...
Well, I'm not sure how these things work, but he didn't seem like... He was more like, okay, you do this for me and I'll stay out of your way.
All right, well...
How's it gone for you, anyway?
Oh, all right. Mission successful on our end. Mr. Noah will not be interfering with the delegation tomorrow.
Well, that's great. What do you have to do?
I just had to give him a lot of my money.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a bit shitty, I guess.
It is, but sometimes that's the quickest way of dealing with these things. But no, I'm good. Dolph's retired for the evening. It sounds like you're all right. I'll be honest, I think it might be better to... I need to take care of some things.
Yeah, I'm pretty damn hungry. I think I should go eat, you know, before...
Oh, you
before calling it, you know.
You should. It's always important to keep well fed.
Yeah.
Especially when you're hungry. Anyway, not much more we can say on the phone, I guess. Sounds like you've got it handled. I'm going to see about getting our friends somewhere they can stay. So don't worry. I think I have that handled.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good, man. So, it's just this... Genghis guy who we already got sort of a problem with.
We do, but we'll have to let that slide, I think. We've only got 2 hours now before dawn, and... 2 out of 3 is 2 out of 3, right?
Now, did you see him back there in that club? Is he there? Dolph, is he there?
Dolph is no longer with me on the car. He's retired.
Did you see him, man? Did you see? He was going absolutely crazy.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I see what you mean. Yes. It's not very attractive, but it is something that's a bit of a... it's a bit of a thing that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that.
Basically, just don't lose your cool, Alan.
Yeah, okay.
Keeping well fed can certainly help.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I'm guessing you're gonna go deal with your stuff. I think we don't have much time before the sun comes up anyway, so...
We don't. I think you've done well by the sounds of it. I'm glad you succeeded in your task.
Well, thanks, man. I was doing my best. It was... you should see me, man. I was so stupid. I was trying to force this guy, you know, but he seems like a pretty powerful fucker.
Well, yes. You gotta be careful, Alan. Especially in our world now, there are people out there who can crush you like a bug if you look at them the wrong way.
And I feel the crawling under my skin with the swarm is finding new places to nest. Yeah.
Yeah, and Alan, you can definitely feel that you haven't been brought up by a sire. No one cared about your upbringing as a vampire. So you are lacking in knowledge about what this life is. You feel as if people around you, even vampires that are much younger than you, know much more about being a vampire than you do. You feel lost in this existence. And you feel like finally you found someone maybe you could actually look up to a bit. And you really don't want to disappoint them. You really want to show them that you can be useful and you can be helpful. But there's this anxiety, this fear that you're not going to be good enough. That they're not going to like you. They're never going to like you.
Dolph. He seems to want the right thing. I mean, I don't know his reasons, but he did say some kind things, at least, you know, that I could come and talk to him and stuff, even though he seems kind of tough. Ada was so nice, too, and this guy, Vincent, he's totally uptight and overbearing, but I don't know, maybe there's some kind of friendliness under there. Yeah, maybe I'd better stick to them, and maybe I'd get some good advice. It could really help me. So I feel a little grateful after hearing these last few sentences from Vincent, and I say, yeah, okay, well, thanks. You know, I don't know too much about any of this stuff. I'm not sure how you guys know it, but it's good. Thanks.
Well, you're going to need to learn quickly if you want to survive, Alan. I'm fortunate, it's true. But yeah, maybe when we have some time later I can tell you a few things. Just so you don't screw anything up.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Good. All right, then, Alan. Good night.
Yeah, good night, man.
And I hang up the phone. As I do, I lean back in my car and I sort of look over to Teller and say, right, so Teller, it's a little late, but I need to eat. I'm going to need you to pull one of your, you know, somewhere I can go, right?
Certainly, sir. I suggest we go to one of the bars downtown, one of the bars that attract the kind of food, as it were, that you prefer.
I might have to make do with what I can get, Teller. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, there's hardly going to be even messengers probably gone to bed now.
Well, sir, you still have plenty of blood in your apartment.
Yes, but, you know, it's... Well, just drive. Let's see if we can't... Keep an eye on the time. You know the amount of time it takes to get back.
Exactly 15 minutes, sir.
Good. Well, let's start driving now, then, Teller. And hopefully I won't need to snack on fridge goods.
All right, so usually when you feed, you have a tendency to actually be quite early out because you prefer to feed from living beings. You dislike discount blood or blood from a bag. But because you've been so busy tonight, you haven't really had a chance to do that. So you are... you're a little lost because you don't just feed from anyone. And the people that are out at this time are often people who are incredibly drunk and on their way home from the city, or people who are going into going home from night shifts, or homeless people. So that's basically what you see on your way home.
Exactly what I need. I just start, you know, tapping impatiently at my hand. I start thinking about those lovely people at the airport. Oh, that would have been perfect, but no, I'm hungry, and I know that going to bed hungry, you wake up more hungry, not less. Teller, just... You've got eyes, and you have a job to do. Just find me someone, anyone.
Yes, sir. You can see he starts getting a little nervous. He always gets a little nervous when he can feel a slight touch of your beast shining through from your hunger. He knows what that means. So he speeds up a bit, and he turns around a corner and into a less populated part of the city. And this is usually where people who live in the suburbs but have gone into the city are walking home. And he does point towards a young man who is staggering, quite visibly drunk, around on the street. And he turns to you and says, "Sir, this is... I know this is not your particular flavor of food, but this is... I think this is what you have to make do with."
I kind of lower the window a little and give this man a look. I know I can make myself lower my palate, but there's a certain palate even I can't touch. What sort of individual does he look like?
Well, he looks like a young guy. He is definitely not old enough to drink, but he is over 18. He is a young, blonde man, quite attractive, but also very visibly drunk. He is holding a bottle of some kind without any... it's just an anonymous green bottle. He's taking a swig off once in a while. He puts his hand up when the car light blasts on him, and he looks over to you and he gives you a thumbs up. He just seems like an average young guy on his way home from the city.
Well, there's a hint of rebellion there, at least. That means he's not mundane. I can't feed off the truly mundane. It just, you can taste the dullness in them. He's not an artist, which is what I much prefer. This will have to do. Okay. All right, Teller. Just sort of pull. Keep an eye out. Pull on by.
Teller drives slowly behind this guy, and he seems like he doesn't really get that you are following him. He's too drunk to understand. So he just shrugs and then keeps on walking. He tries to avoid a couple of light poles. He bumps into a letterbox on his way. And swears a bit. He is he's just walking along very slowly.
I lower the window and I just sort of call out from the car. "Hey, buddy, Buddy, you all right? You need a ride somewhere? Looks like you, it's late.
Hey, what's up? Are you a taxi?
Actually, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not the taxi, but, I mean, you don't mind, I look to tell her, you don't mind, taking another fare on? This boy looks like he needs some help.
No, sir. Certainly not. You can tell her he's not a good actor at all. Jump in, young fellow. And the guy comes closer and he walks up to the window and he looks at you and he says, I've seen you somewhere before. Where have I seen you before? Are you a celebrity?
Oh, well, funny story, actually. A little bit, yeah.
Really?
Anyway, come in. I move aside to let him in, so anyone watching sees him getting in the car on his own accord.
Although he is very drunk right now, he does squint a bit in suspicion as he looks at you and then looks at the driver, who doesn't look like a taxi driver. He looks much more fancier than that. He looks at the car again, looks at you and looks at the teller, and just as you think that he is about to look through your disguise, he shrugs and jumps into the car.
Lovely.
My name is Jonas. I just moved here.
Wonderful. Where are we driving you to?
Just straight ahead, and then at some point to the left.
Wonderful. You heard him. Tell us, start driving.
Oh, you know the taxi driver?
I do, actually. I lean in a little. So, Jonah, what do you do, Jonah?
I'm just like a student at Reed University. That's kind of what I do, you know. You're a little close to me, dude. I'm not into that.
Oh,
thing,
don't worry.
You know. He pulls away a bit.
I am not either. I've pulled down my shades and just sort of look him dead in the eyes. Well, Jonah, nice to meet you. Don't worry, we'll make this quick. And I cast Mesmerize on him.
Ooh, okay.
I need to make a rouse check first, yes. And that is, my hunger does not go up.
So I believe, Mesmerize, you need to make a roll.
Cool, so that will be Manipulation, Dominate. With free hunger. Four successes, none of them critical.
Okay, you have him under your control completely. He looks at you with that gaze your victim gives you every time you use this ability on them. Kind of like a deer caught in the headlight.
Yes. I feel something inside, feel very excited. It's always good when you're about to feed, and this should be easy. I simply say, now Jonah, just sit back, relax. This will be over very soon.
Whatever you say, man. He lays his head back on the car seat and almost looks like he's falling asleep.
And I lean forward, go for his neck, and sink my fangs into his veins.
Alright. So, Teller is right now just driving around with the two of you. And he is doing that as long as you tell him not to. So, as long as you don't tell him not to. So, this feeding session is in the private. You have complete control over it. No one is seeing you. You have tinted windows on your car. This is the almost the best possible environment for feeding. So you lose all of your hunger except one?
Yes, that's right. I have not ever actually, so far, killed someone in this manner, and that's fine. It's messy, and my sire has been very clear that she doesn't like messes. Even though it would be wonderful to train him, I know that's not a good thing, and I just take enough. I take enough. Takes the edge off. Although, I feel the palate. I think I take some willpower damage, yes?
No, no. Well, I will allow you not to this time. It's, he's not a repulsive or vile person. He's not something that goes directly against, your predator type, so...
Ah, I am pleasantly surprised. I was taking a bit of a gamble here, but actually, yeah, a student, I thought. A student, students are creative, they want to learn things. It's not maybe the best I've tasted, but at least it's something.
It's not quality blood. It's not something you go for normally, but in a tight situation, it's fine.
I withdraw my fangs.
What do you do with him? He is out cold. You don't know if it's because he's incredibly drunk, or because he is asleep, or what's up with him, but he's just out cold.
I take a moment to just focus. I feel so much better now. And then I say to Teller, Teller, let's find a little alleyway for a second, yes?
Certainly, sir. He pulls up to the nearest alleyway. There isn't a person inside.
Good, good. I open...
Do you want me to dispose of the leftovers, sir?
Not yet. You know how it works. Get him outside the car and then wake him up.
Certainly. Teller gets up from his seat and grabs the young guy by the shoulders and quickly drags him into the alleyway. And you can hear a faint whispered, Wake up! As he's shaking this guy who's just... limp. He is not waking up. He is out cold. And on top of that, you're starting to feel a bit drunk. The blood that you just ate was pretty alcoholic, so you're starting to feel a bit tipsy, and you haven't felt like that for a very long time.
Yes, I sort of lean back in my seat a little. And as I notice from the window, I'm like, Teller, come on, man, just wake him up. Hit him or something. No, don't do that. Don't hit him. Maybe. How much does he do think he remembered? He's really drunk, right? What do you think?
I don't know. Wake up. He's still shaking this guy, and he's making sounds like he's not dead, but he's making kind of grunts as he's being violently shaken.
I kind of look around the car, say, Teller, haven't you got any sort of smelling salts or something? I don't know, is that not something you carry around?
Smelling salts? No, sir, I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can see a group of young people is approaching from... behind you, from behind the car, laughing loudly.
Fine, just leave him. He's fine. So drunk, he won't remember.
Are you sure, sir? We always wake them up.
Don't have time. It's okay. Fine. Just leave him be.
Certainly, sir. He looks at you a little strange. He's not used to seeing you drunk like this and making these kinds of decisions. He's always used to you being very... in control. He gets in the car and he turns it on and he drives away quickly. We are heading home, sir, I suppose.
Yes, Teller, yes, we're heading home. Oh, why couldn't you have something like... It's fine, right? I mean, the kid's drunk and he doesn't actually know who I am. And what's he going to remember? He's going to remember I said hi. And then he won't remember anything. And if he...
I'm sure you made a sound decision, sir. As always.
Would you remember his face if you saw him again?
No, sir. I don't think so.
It's fine. It's all good. I say as I lean back into my seat and just sort of roll around a little. And I just start ranting for a bit, I think, as we drive the way home. Ranting about the evening, ranting about Dolph, about Alan. Although, actually, I say Alan did a good job. Dolph, who does Dolph think he is? This Dolph character. And then also saying to Teller, and like, Teller, and the thing is, like, am I so... Like, do I still... You respect me, right? You still respect me, right? Right?
Yes, sir, certainly.
Because everyone seems to be giving me a lack of respect.
Well, that's a big mistake, sir.
I know, right?
Yes, indeed.
And
he looks at you in the rear mirror. He looks very confused as you're rolling around in the back seat, kind of having a moment.
I am, but it feels good, I think. And yes, I feel I order him to drive us home. I'm pretty sure that this drunk kid off the street. What's the worst that could happen?
Well, you arrive home. Is there anything else you want to do before you sleep for the day?
I enter my apartment. I bid Teller good night. And, well, I mean to say good night, but it probably comes across more as go.
And he leaves.
And as I enter my room with my bed, as it were, I kind of just loosen my jacket, loosen my clothing. And I go to... what I've been working on the last few nights. It's sort of just by my bed, a sort of canvas where I've been trying to etch a portrait of my sire, Jennifer. And I just sort of look at it for 10 minutes. I try and take a pencil and make an adjustment, and as soon as I do, I just sort of... It's wrong. I made the wrong adjustment. And I sort of just start scribbling all over the whole thing. Like it's just shit. Absolute shit. Why is it always shit? And I look at it, the mess I made, and I just sort of tear down the whole thing, throw it into a bin. And go into bed.
Drunk and angry. Alright. So, Dolph, you've just been at the hospital to check on Ada, who is currently in a coma. You had a very emotional conversation with her parents and a very uncomfortable conversation with a doctor who wanted to know a lot of things that you were not really keen on answering, but you did, and you handled the situation. And as you are walking out of the hospital, you too get a phone call. It is Alan.
I answer. Yes?
Hey, man, I was talking to Vincent and I... How you holding up and stuff?
Well, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And did you deal with the Genghis issue or?
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. We just gotta do something for him.
Right.
We gotta basically get some cash from some guy. It doesn't seem like some big deal. He said he'd stay out of our way if we did. So I'm just hoping he'll hold his word on that. I don't know. How's the girlfriend?
She's still in hospital. I'm sure she will feel better by tomorrow.
Yeah. Did they say that? They say she's okay and stuff?
I'd really not rather not go into it right now.
Sorry, man. No, of course. I don't mind if we mess that fucker up, you know. If we meet him, that was so stupid. What happened there? I mean, I don't want you to think about it. Sorry. I'm glad to hear she's gonna be better tomorrow. And you, Vincent, told me you did okay with the the other guy and stuff. He had to fork out some cash.
Oh, so You just told me that Genghis is trying to extort some money from Anne, but I'm assuming you mean Crook. So you haven't met up with Genghis?
No. I just came from Crook and finished that up, and I just talked to Vincent.
Oh, and he's decided not that Genghis isn't worth seeing tonight.
Yeah, he had some things to do, and we were both, I think, I mean, at least I really need to get something to eat.
Yes, well, I'm sure it would have been unreasonable for us to be able to handle all three of them in a single evening. It is getting quite close to the dawn now, isn't it?
Yeah, and that Genghis guy, I don't know what we would do to him, you know. He seems like he's completely out of control, what he did, you know.
Set him on fire would be a good start, but maybe that will have to wait.
Yeah. We'll save that. Stupid thing, you know. This sheriff's supposed to be on the prince's side, and then he can't do anything about some of these goons, you know. Well, I'm gonna head off and get what I need, but I wanted to say thanks again for, you know, offering to listen, you know, if I had things to talk about. And
oh, of course. You know, as I've mentioned several times, I try and stay out of the politics of being like us. I much prefer to be around people who aren't like us, but I am aware.
But you were informed. You know about it. You know about it and stuff. You know how it works.
Well,
this. You know that there's a prince, and what he has is sheriff that takes care of things for him, and some people, I mean, this Crook guy, he was like, I don't care about the prince, and I don't know why some people just don't do that.
It's funny, because our flyboy said the same thing.
Yeah. So he's got some power, but not like some people can just do what they please. I mean, some kindred.
Well, one would have to hope that the reason we were sent after the people we were is because these are the only ones who do have a problem with the prince, but I doubt that that's actually the case.
Maybe these ones, they are the ones that only are influential enough.
Rabble rousers, probably. They might be the ones that shout the loudest, get everyone else wired. There's probably plenty of people who don't like having someone above them calling themselves prince, because how ridiculous is that as a title?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you get that power or anything. The politics stuff, it's not. I never cared for that shit.
But most of them are probably too afraid or sit on their hands. They like to moan and they take no action about it. So, if we've neutralized two of them in the best possible way, I suppose we will take that as a victory.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
But yes, of course, if you do need to talk about anything, I may not sound like the most counselling ear, but I am willing to hear your problems, and maybe I can find something to, I guess, fill the gap and make you feel a bit better.
Yeah, that's fine, man. You don't have to give me advice and stuff. It's sometimes just good to, you know, these things I can't talk to Michael about this stuff. So
No, sometimes you need a friend.
Yeah, man. Okay, well, you do what you gotta do, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay.
Okay. Where are we meeting?
Well, we're going to this place, right, to pick them up.
No, so we'll all just go to the airport separately, because frankly, I don't really want to just leave a car there. I'll just take a taxi. It's fine.
They wanted us to be at the terminal at 10, right? So it's going to be dark a little bit before that, so...
That's fine, yes, I'll take a taxi. I'll see you there at the terminal.
Yeah, see you there. Okay, man.
Hanging up on him, I'll make my way back to my haven now, as I've got a little while. I'll take a taxi part of the way. I'll walk the rest, get a bit of the night air. I'm not really desperately hungry, so I'm going to stave off for the time being.
All right.
I would like to make a call, though.
Yeah? Who would you like to call?
A clanmate.
Okay.
One of my contacts. If I can, if it's possible to reach him, I would like to get in touch with Marcel, who is another member of the Ministry. As much as I don't like rubbing shoulders with them, I feel there may be a need.
Alright, well, you can certainly try and call him.
I'll give it a go.
Alright, so he actually answers pretty quickly. He picks up the phone, you can hear like some scrambling, like he is almost dropping it, or he is running, or something like that. Something is going on. And he's, you hear it on the other end of the line.
Marcel?
Marcel, this is Dolph.
Hey, Dolph. Long time no see, man. Oh, here or whatever.
Yes, I'm not in the room with you.
Although, no, you don't say. How can I help you?
I just had a quick question for you, and then I will be out of your hair. I'm sure you have lots of very important things to smoke and drink. I just wondered, are you aware of anything interesting being shipped into the city tomorrow or in the next few nights?
First of all, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I just steal that shit, okay? Got that straight?
Well, if you say so. I mean, it's... I appreciate the entire Manson cult leader-like act in that case. I just always assumed you enjoyed feeding off people who were off their face on something or other.
That's something different. That's different. It's different. It's not smoking, it's not drinking. Well, it's drinking, but not smoking. You know what I mean. Anyway, cargo tomorrow?
It could be drugs, it could be people, it could be weapons. Are you aware of anything arriving in the city tomorrow?
Well, drugs arrive every day when I'm here. But that's no news. I assume you're talking about a certain shipment of kindred.
Ah, well, I don't know. Maybe I am. What do you know about them?
Well, let's say I know 50%. I guess I know about one half of the duo arriving. Melankov. I don't know if that name says anything to you or rings a bell or...
It absolutely does not, but now I know there are two people arriving and one of them's called Melankov. What am I supposed to know about this Melankov?
Just give me a second. He yells some orders away from the phone to some people, telling them to put some crates a certain place. And then he clearly goes to a place that's a little quieter, and he sits down, says, okay, listen. Melankov is a character. He is a man who I've worked with long ago, when he was down on his luck, as to speak. He was in the shitter, and he needed someone to give him a job, show him around, and basically pull him back up, and that's what I did. So I kind of got to know this guy, Melankov. He's quite interesting. He's born in Siberia, of all fucking places, yeah. You wouldn't think that people are actually born there, but they are. They live there. So he's made of fucking rock and snow and ice. He lived there as a mortal for... until he was around 30. Lived in some shitty little village where the only thing they had were snow and reindeer. And his mother apparently passed away when he was young from fucking anthrax or something.
Anthrax?
Yeah, he got it from, I think she got it from the reindeer. This is the crazy thing. Like, this guy's fucked up. Okay? So, his mom dies. And You can't fucking bury anyone in the snow. The ground, earth is too hard. And they couldn't waste tinder on building some fucking fire. So what do? Well, they throw her in some cabin. And she just lies there. And what does he do instead of leaving that corpse alone? Walks in there every fucking day. Every fucking day he stares at his mom. He lies next to her, sleeps beside her. That's fucked up, man. That fucks you up. So I think that's one of the reasons why he is the way he is right now. Anyway, he reaches for these. He realizes his life is shit. That's a little late, but he realizes his life is shit. And he knows that his dad won't survive if he leaves. But he says, fuck it. And fucking drowns his dad in the reindeer trough. Like, what's... You have to have something wrong in your fucking head to do that. So even before he became one of us, he was just fucked up. So, when he reaches for these, he killed his dad, his mom was dead, he didn't really have anything to do in that shitty village anyway. He left. But even the toughest guys, even the Malenkovs of the world, succumbed to the weather in Siberia, and he fucking almost dies. Like, he lays down in the snow and just succumbs. And who finds him? Fucking Tali finds him. In the snow. In Siberia, of all places, Tali finds him.
Who is this Tali person?
Well known, Lasombra.
You must be on something right now, Marcel, because it's a lovely tale. What did you do to get inside this person's head to the degree that he told you about his mother?
Well, I don't think you want to know. Nah, I don't think you want to know. But listen, the story isn't... It's not done.
So
Tali had been waging a war against some fucking lupines. And he lost his entire pack. And he finds Malenkov half frozen in the fucking snow. And says, oh, that looks like child potential. So he fucking embraces him.
Okay. I'm going to say goodnight now, Marcel, because by the sounds of it, there's a lunatic coming to Chicago. And yeah, that's all I can really ascertain from this horror
that's
story.
That's all he fucking is. He's a lunatic. Stay the fuck away from him.
Do you know why he's coming?
I've no idea.
But he's been sending you postcards because you're his therapist and he's coming back for an appointment or something?
You are funny for a neonate, aren't you?
Well, I don't think my sense of humour died when I died.
Listen. I haven't spoken to this guy in fucking years. He came here, his life was in the shitter, I helped him pull it back out. That's it. He dealt some drugs for me. I used him a bit, whatever. I don't know why he's coming back, I don't know what his business is here, I just know he's been here a lot of times. Even when he returned back from the Second World War, fighting for Russia, came back here, and now he's some fucking war hero, he thinks. He was also used by the Zabat. He's been through a lot of shit, you just stay away from him.
You are throwing a lot of words at me right now that I don't know, and it's too late. I'm not going to ask you about what all these things mean. I'll just take it for granted. This is someone to be avoided, or at least handled with kid gloves. And if I do meet him, I will maybe... We'll make some common ground. We both had unhappy childhoods, so maybe we'll both talk about our mother problems.
Well, sounds like you're his therapist now, doesn't it?
I can't help but wonder, Marcel, whether you have fucked this person up a little more. But maybe we'll talk about that in person some night. Have a lovely evening. What's left of it, I'm going to bed.
But
I hang up.
Well, you hang up, And is there anything else you want to do before you return?
Other than cursing the name of my clan representative in this city. Because while the information he has imparted is no doubt useful, I have a name, if indeed it's accurate, of someone who is coming into Chicago, and we know we're to anticipate some important cargo, so it may well be this guy. It all seems rather disturbing and unwholesome, and why we have been set to the task of looking after a maniac like this is beyond me. I'm a male model, for Christ's sake. It's clearly not my charm, because while I can switch it on, it's far from authentic. And yeah, I just think to myself that this ministry of which I'm a part, it's got a reputation of fucking with people's heads, of stripping away all the things they believe in, all the good in a person, if you like. And Marcel, knowing so much about this Malenkov, all I can wonder is, what did my clanmate do to this guy, and is he coming back because of him? And is it really a good idea for another minister to meet up with him, given what Marcel did? Not really my choice. I've been commanded by the sheriff. I'll do it. But those are all my thoughts. I'm unlocking the door to the apartment, making my way up the elevator, opening my personal apartment door, locking it behind me. I'll make sure all the night blinds are shut, so no light can go in. But I'm not feeling comfortable with Ada not here, and she's always here. Always. If I'm staying here, she's staying here. And with her absent, I am too uncomfortable sleeping in the bed, so I'm going to sleep on the sofa for today.
And you uncomfortably fall asleep. You have a very unrestful day's sleep. You feel stressed and you have nightmares. You are anxious. You can definitely feel that there is something wrong here. And you keep seeing these pictures of Ada's hospital bed. These pictures of Ada in your arms, unconscious. It's almost like a PTSD right now. Alright, so what about Alan? Do you want to do anything before you go to bed?
Yeah, as I've been talking to the two guys, I've been walking a bit through the city, as I'm now near the center, I pick up a pocket calendar from my pocket. And it's from the American Federation of Musicians that I joined for some reason. But it seems they're doing good stuff for people. Not that it matters to me, because I'm doing well for myself. And I open the calendar. It's a bit worn. And inside, I flick to the date of today, and let's see, where was I yesterday? I was at Memory Lane Stables, and I checked that off. And who was it? Comanche? Fed, and I put a note in the calendar, fed from Comanche. And that means today is Lincoln Zoo. That's nice. I like the zoo. I always liked the zoo. So I start walking towards the zoo. It's not too far from where I am, actually.
Alright, so this is your preferred feeding method, if not feeding from stray dogs and cats. That's kind of your last resort. You enjoy going to the zoo at night. It's quiet. It's full of animals which you love. And it's easy prey. So you have a tendency to feed on zoo animals. And after you did that, after you moved into the city, you kind of realized that because you feed from zoo animals who sometimes can feel a bit depressed about being engaged and locked in, you started feeling somber, you started feeling depressed, you started being sad all of a sudden. The resonance in the animal's blood simply just affected you in that way.
Yeah.
But luckily for you, being a jazz and blues artist, you use that sadness in your music, so you are actually using that to your benefit.
Yeah. And actually, it's nice in different kinds of ways, you know, that way, because Comanche the horse was just a happy horse. It's kind of bland. The best bit is, you know, when you get to the zoo and the animals are there, they're all caged and some of them are really fucking depressed. And that kind of brings you down and it makes you just want to sit by piano and let that feeling that you get from them flow. So I get in there and I start walking around and I'm thinking, like, where was I last time? I look at the alpacas and the giraffes. I've never eaten from a giraffe before. That seems like a shit hassle. I think I stop by and I see the camels. I sort of standing there asleep. Maybe I'll try a fucking camel, you know. I haven't done that before. Been like domestic cows and stuff, but what could happen, you know?
Good thing about the camels is the fence around the camels are not very high because they are not really known for escaping or being dangerous in any way. So they just kind of sleeping underneath like a half shed. And the reason why you could just walk into the zoo, by the way, is because you actually have a contact in the zoo. You have someone you've convinced to let you in once in a while when they see you. They just think that you are a very enthusiastic zoo visitor and you can't stay away. And you've convinced them to let you in. So that's why you could just waltz in without any hassle. But you see the camels, they're kind of sleeping in a group at the very end.
Yeah. And it's something funny about the animals here too, is that if I met them in the wild, I mean, I think some of these herbivores might just panic. But it's because of this sort of hanging sadness that they have, this sometimes that they just don't care. But I'm still a bit nervous because I've not really been inside of this fence before, so I'm walking up, see a sign that says Bactrian camel, whatever that means. And I see one of them who looks like one of the bigger ones that probably could take it, you know, a bit more. I don't want to hurt them, so I start walking over to that one and I start singing a soothing song. It's one of my blues songs. Try to ease them into a sense of security.
Well, they don't seem to mind you very much. Some of them are still awake, kind of eating a bit of grass and looking up at you and not really minding you being there. You don't know if it's your song or it's just because they are used to humans or what it is. But none of them are getting up or doing anything.
That's good. So I sit down next to it and I start, you know, patting this one, sort of stroking it gently. And then very carefully I feel the change in my skull as my teeth elongate and I give a shudder. I think I'll ever get completely used to this. And I feel hungry and a bit excited and so I start feeding from the one that I have marked.
When you bite into the camel, they give like a grunt, an unsatisfied grunt. But because it's just a big animal and your fangs are so small compared to it, it doesn't really mind that much. You can see it's definitely uncomfortable. And it's, again, it's a big animal you chose, so you are actually able to sate your hunger to one. But it takes a long time for you. It actually takes so long that you have very, very, very little time to return back home to your apartment. And you get there just before the sun rises.
Yeah. And I am kind of dazed from the experience. I have this feeling in my mind, this picture of my mind of the whole wolf ken standing there, almost pressed up against the fence, even with the small ones, just staring at me, feeling a closeness to them. And then flickering pictures of my guy opening the door for me, smiling at me, and saying something about see you at the next gig. And I just sort of collapse into the bed where Michael already is sleeping. And I sort of cuddle up to him after I made sure there's no light gonna come in. And I start probably snoring loudly. What a day it's been.
Alright, wonderful. So that is all of you. You are all in bed, sound asleep. Well, at least some of you. And the next night arises. So you've decided that you all wanted to meet up at the airport at around what time?
If the sun sets at 8, set out as early as possible. I'm not going to be able to do my usual evening routine of exfoliation and exercise. All pointless, of course.
All right. Does anyone of you want to do anything before you leave?
I do, yes, because as soon as I wake up and look around for a few seconds, notice my painting is in the bin. Don't quite remember putting it in the bin. And then I remember something extremely important that I forgot to do. And I get Teller as soon as possible. And ask him, Teller, I forgot to do this last night. How could you forget to remind me? We need to have a place to go. Do you think Miss Strauss will mind if, you know, there's a few locations she said I could go to just in case I desperately needed somewhere to sleep? Yet, I think I'm going to need one of those. Do you remember any of them?
It's been a very long time, sir. I'm not sure of... do you have any guests coming, or...?
Yes, we have several guests, and we're going to need to put them somewhere for the night. And they can't come here. They're not coming here. I don't think my other apartment is suitable. I haven't been there for a while. Is it suitable?
I don't know, sir. I have not been there for 6 months.
You've not been there for 6 months, Teller?
I don't know what I should be doing there, sir.
You're supposed to go there every now and then and make it look like I'm living there. Oh, yes.
I'm sure no one has noticed, sir, but I will do that.
Well, they better not have Teller. All right, well, I can't remember, though. Is it, you know, can we sleep there?
Yes, we have a sofa and I believe a double bed.
I kind of give him this really scathing look. I say, you know what I mean, pointing at the windows.
Yes, it is not sunproof, sir. You never told me to sunproof it.
Well, I was...
But I can do... I'll call some people, sir.
Good, yes, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to make some calls, and you're going to deal with it, buddy. Yes, good. Make it nice, and that's where they'll have to go. Yes, all right, I said I'd sort this, and I've sorted it.
I will make some calls. He scatters out, seeming very stressed.
I sort of just clench my fist a few times. Annoyed, because obviously I was supposed to do this last night, but that bloody boy. Remind myself never to drink from intoxicated people again. I forgot that happens. And I rush to get myself ready, make myself look respectable, and I will... As Teller has to do this work for me, I will... call a taxi to take myself to the airport. I also, before leaving, look around my desk for a letter opener that my sire gave to me. It's a rather ornate, quite sturdy letter opener. Maybe not the most deadly of weapons, but it's good to have something, and for some reason I just feel I'd feel safer if I had something on me tonight. Just in case.
Yep, you bring a very pretty and adorned letter opener with you. Anyone else wants to do anything?
I wake up with a gasp. Just, Beethoven. Beethoven, are you here?
Beethoven, who's been sleeping in a corner, wakes up and a little groggy, walks over to you. He licks your hands.
Oh, shit, buddy, I thought I forgot you there. Because I remembered I drove with him to Crook's Bar, and then I started walking around the city. I went to the zoo, and thank God I did go to take the car back and bring him back. I just scratch his ears, and I said, I'm sorry, buddy, I was just... Yesterday was a very stressful night for me.
Michael wakes up next to you and looks at you. Oh, hey, I been waiting for you all night, so I just... Are you okay?
Hey. And I give him a kiss. Yeah, man, you wouldn't believe it. Yesterday was the most screwed up night ever. I don't even know where to start. I was at a gig. I did my gig. I told you about that. The gig went horribly wrong. Some people started fighting the fire. You know, the sprinkler system went off, and that was a nightmare. And then I got sent on some fool's errands to sort of make some things up. It's stupid. I'm getting involved in this society of people. I don't know.
Vampires, yeah.
I'm
still kind of digesting that message, to be honest, dude.
Maybe I'm not expecting you to get over this, you know, in a couple of months, you know. I'm sorry I had to drop that bomb at you.
It's fine. You know, I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna support you. I promise you that from day one. I'm still here. Just whatever you're going to do tonight, just be careful and try to keep me updated. I kind of tried to hit you up a couple of times yesterday.
I'll do that. I'll be on the phone. Okay. I'll let you know that I'm cool. That I'm cool.
Okay. Thanks.
And I give him another kiss, and I get up, and I look at the clock. What's it say?
It is, when it says 8, so there's 2 hours until you have to pick them up.
And then that's not too bad. I'm gonna try and cook something for Michael and then get off.
Okay. So that doesn't take very long. You have a nice evening, beginning of the evening. You cook a quick but tasty dinner. You don't need anything yourself, obviously, but you have a good conversation. You feel like you haven't had a good conversation in a very long time. It's going the right direction. You feel good about that. What about you, Dolph? Do you want to do anything before you leave?
My immediate instinct is to start going through the routine of making sure my hair is perfectly in place, making sure I have got an outfit picked out for, again, the harsh lights of the airport, this time hoping not to wear some trash that I'd picked up in a tourist shop. And then, as I'm doing all of that, I recall, oh, yes, of course, Ada's not here. She's... at the hospital, so I will call the hospital.
Okay, you call the hospital, a nurse is picking up.
You're speaking with nurse Sarah, hello?
I was given this number last night. My name is Dolph Shung, my girlfriend is currently in intensive care, and I wanted to check on how she's doing. I spoke to... Dr. Farnham last night, and he should be able to verify that I'm on the list to be able to inquire after her.
What's your girlfriend's name, sweetheart?
Ada Simpson.
Oh, yeah, Ada. Well, she is actually starting to breathe on her own, so we are taking her breathing tube out very soon. I don't know if you want to be around for that. I think that she would find that very... very important if you were there. It almost seemed like after you were there yesterday, she just seems a lot better.
I'm so glad to hear that. Unfortunately, you know, I've no doubt being a nurse, you know how work can sometimes be very demanding of you.
Oh, you have no idea, yeah.
There is something that I have been commanded under pain of death, pretty much, to do tonight. And I know that by the time I'm done with it, it will be well after the point that the doctors and nurses at your good hospital have stopped performing operations and treatments and the like, except in emergencies, one would imagine. So I'm probably not going to be around for the removal of the tube, but if I can, I will come by tonight. And I know it will be well past visiting hours, but even if I can just be in the hospital to ask how she's doing, that will be enough. So I will... I may call again later, or I will come over in person.
Well, I think she'll appreciate that. You know, her parents haven't really been here today, or... Yeah, they haven't really... I haven't seen them. It seemed like... I don't know how well you know them, but it almost seemed like her mother was too upset to be there. And her father's taking care of her mother, so she's just alone here, and I'm just... As long as you come by at least today, I think she would really appreciate that. I don't think anyone should be alone in this situation.
No, of course not. I will be by later. I will do my very best.
Well,
if she does wake up, tell her that I called and I'm making every effort to get to her.
Of course, I'll tell her that. You take care of yourself, okay?
Yes,
we'll take care of her.
I hang up. I have a quick check of our diaries. I like to think that we both have a diary next to each other on the fridge that says what appointments, whether we've got any photo shoots or anything like that. Does she have any in the near future?
She actually does have an interview today.
Okay. Well, it's probably already been and gone if it was during the day, but if not... does it have a time?
It's in half an hour, actually.
Okay, is there a number? Or is it with a photographer or a magazine or something like
there
that?
There is a business card pinned to it.
Okay.
You could say it's from a magazine, a fashion magazine.
GQ, I give the number a ring.
GQ magazine, hello?
Hello, this is Dolph Shung, male model.
Oh, hello, Mr. Shung.
I know, usually I would speak to you through my agent, but this is on a personal matter. My significant other, Ada Simpson, is due in for an interview today.
Yes, she is. In half an hour, we are expecting her, looking forward to it.
Unfortunately, she has come down very unwell and is currently in the hospital. Which I'm sure, you know, is not ideal, and I'm there for her. I'm sure you'll be pleased to know. And I'm calling on her behalf because, sadly, she can't make it to the phone right now. But I'm wondering if you could reschedule the interview for a week away.
Oh, certainly. We can arrange so she can call us whenever she's ready. If it's very serious, we don't want her to stress about it.
Oh, that's very kind of you. You know, if you need to fill the slot, I could probably do a telephone interview with you right now.
That's very kind of you, but we're talking about women's fashion, so I'm...
I know a surprising amount about women's fashion. I am planning on launching my own label, in fact. And just like that, I push all thought of Ada out of my mind. And yes, it's something I've been working on quite extensively in my downtime. I'm looking to launch a brand of clothing that can be worn by both men and women without needing a gender divide. I feel progression in fashion is something that we in America have taken far too long to jump onto.
Very interesting. You know what? Let me find a note block and let me just write some things down.
Thank you.
And you have a half an hour long phone interview where it's just you talking, basically.
And that's why I think, in the end, pants with legs are a burden for anyone wearing them.
Yeah, because it's a reflection of just a misogynist society.
It exactly is. I mean, I have yet to find someone who can honestly say that a dress or a skirt is not more comfortable.
Well, I think that's...
But sadly, I do have to get going now, after all.
That's a perfect finishing line. I was just about to say that. Thank you very much, Mr. Chung. That was enlightening.
It's really my pleasure. I love to be featured in your magazine. You know, every time I have been, it's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, and we wish everything well for Ada.
Oh yes, I'm sure she will be better soon.
She hangs up.
I will quickly organise a taxi to pick me up immediately and get me to this airport, because I'm probably going to be late otherwise.
Alright, so you've all arranged a meeting point at the airport, and it is getting dark. It's not quite completely dark yet, but it's getting there. But, of course, the airport is still buzzing, it's full of people. But you all arrive more or less at the same time, at the meeting point outside the terminal.
Yeah. I considered it for a while, and in the end I didn't bring Beethoven. I thought that might have been a bad call. Maybe he'd get stressed at this place.
Mm-hmm.
I smile when I see Alan and Dolph. I've actually dressed up a little smarter than I was last night. I've actually put on a shirt and jacket I normally keep for some of the more fancy parties, but I figure best to make a good impression.
Well, I'm looking a bit Justin Bieber-like in a fashionable hoodie and shades.
Ah, Dolph. Gentlemen, good evening.
Hiya, Vincent. How you doing?
I'm good. I have our guests' temporary residence all set up, taken care of.
Fantastic. That's excellent work. Thank you so much for even considering that.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, man. And you see me, I'm wearing just a black shirt and black trousers. Very... sort of an anonymous blending in kind of style.
Alan?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't have a sense of smell anymore. Or so much I don't have a need to breathe. But there's an unmistakable aroma to you. Have you been kissing a camel?
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the chronicle The Sacrifice from Chicago by Night for Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Chicago by Night is published by our friends at Onyx Path Publishing, and Vampire the Masquerade is published by Modiphius. Our storyteller was Clara Horsher Herbal, and we were also joined by the gentleman gamer Matthew Dawkins. Check them out on social media and on their Patreons to support their work in the tabletop space. The intro was composed for us by the amazing Simon Kelle, and he has also provided us with all of the music for this chronicle. Check out his work at simonkelle.com. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. More importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out on Patreon. Thank you again for listening, and see you soon again.